thanks, Jay, for coming. We've given everybody the background on what we mailed to you. So let me start on the questions with Jay. Let's just start with the basics. Tell us what the cloud is.
Great. Well, Gary, we appreciate you having us on tonight. Very interested. Cloud, very simply, the simplest part of cloud is it's basically taking your complex IT, your telephony infrastructure, you take it out of your back office, and you're going to host it in a high availability, geographically secure, redundant data centers. And then they actually rent the technology back to you, very much like a utility will. So, you know, that the cloud today is purpose-built to reduce organizations' capital expenditures and provide, you know, great access from anywhere, from any device. You know, essentially cloud is just a couple services. It's infrastructure as a service, software as a service, IT as a service, and your voice can be as a service. So essentially, there's nothing you can't put in today's cloud.
Great. Well, on these things with it, you're talking to a bunch of financial types, so what's the financial justification, or tell us a little more about how much money this is going to cost us?
Okay. Well, and that's absolutely, you know, one of the crucial parts and one of the advantages of moving to cloud, but there's a couple things you need to absolutely do in order to truly financially justify, you know, whether it makes sense to move to the cloud. So you truly need to compare what your on-prem expenses are versus what a cloud deployment would cost you. So it's very important for all executives, both on the IT side and the financial side. You know, we believe our organization is, you know, it's very important to measure any investment in technology over the entirety of its lifespan, from soup to nuts. You know, it's not just what the initial cost is, but what does that investment cost you today, 24 months from now, 36 months from now, 60 months. Every organization is different. They look at costs. Some of them look at 36 months, 60 months. Some look out 10 years. So it's very important. The first thing you need to do is to create a detailed description of your entire IT environment. And we like to take it down to a very granular approach and look at, you know, 7 cost centers that are in the world of IT. You know, your physical data center and hardware, your software licensing, your power environmental requirements, you know, the hardware maintenance, software assurance. The support personnel, you have to also include into any cost adjustments as far as your outside contractors that you pay for and the training. A lot of organizations today are starting to think about disaster recovery and business continuity, and those all have costs associated with it. But we even like to look at it, take it a step further and look at some of the intangibles when we work with executives and ask, you know, if they put cost per employee per hour of downtime and how do you calculate risk of loss factors. You know, these are all important things when starting to look at costs and whether or not it makes financial sense, along with all the other benefits of a cloud deployment versus an on-prem solution. So it's important to the next step once you create that entire IT expenses is to get a very good total cost of ownership model and stand them up side by side. So if you have your entire list of IT and you utilize a total cost of ownership tools, and there's a lot of them out there in the market today, a lot of them aren't very good. You definitely need a very detailed one where you can actually stand up a side-by-side comparison of on-prem cost versus off-prem, and then you can actually look at what solutions might benefit the organization to migrate to the cloud.
You know, Jay, once you've gotten that sort of total TCO or fully loaded cost, depending on sort of the background of our people, how do we decide what we're going to start? What's the first thing we want to move to the cloud?
Well, that'll be predicated on the business itself. I think what's more important besides, you know, figuring out what to move, because in a lot of organizations, they kind of have an idea what they would like to move to the cloud. Once you do your TCO, you'll know whether it's beneficial or not. But there's other things that you need to think about when moving to the cloud. You know, once you develop your strategy and you've got a defined plan, once that piece is done, you have to think about some other things, such as your security, compliance, and performance challenges that you may have as an organization. You know, those are things companies should think about. And not look at them as fearful of moving to the cloud, but more of, you know, keep in mind these are questions you would ask any potential provider that you would interview moving to the cloud. You know, you want to ask them questions such as, you know, can I move my data back from your facility if necessary? The cloud's going to give you the ability to provide new roles in your IT department and things of that nature. So it's not a matter of understanding what you're going to move, but it's asking the proper questions about when you're thinking about moving to cloud, you're going to ask certain questions. So
Well, you touched on something that we're all hearing in the preliminary discussions. The concern, you know, that our IT people have is that the cloud's going to replace them or most of them. Can you touch on that briefly for us?
Yeah, in most cases, what we've seen in our experience is usually the IT staff is not over in abundance, you know, in some of these, you know, mid-sized organizations. They're usually, you know, stressed and have not enough time in the day to do the work they need to do. So actually, you can actually repurpose your IT staff to become a more of a strategic asset to the business versus, you know, sitting around doing break fix. You know, so the IT actually, instead of, you know, thinking about losing their jobs, they should be being repurposed in an organization and help the business operation be transformed to drive, you know, long-term gains to the business, such as, you know, improving customer sales and enhancing staffing productivity, you know, looking at better business efficiencies while cutting costs, you know, where today they don't have the time to do that. They're too busy doing break fix throughout the day for most of organizations.
You know, that's a good point, because we probably have some people who are in the internal audit department, and I know they're going through a similar initiative, which is properly done, this becomes an enhancement when you outsource the parts of the internal auditor group. But their big issue has been this: be more strategic and more operational. And you're saying that the issue that the internal audit group is grappling with, this actually is a plus on the benefit side of our discussions when the cloud move is properly done.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, the IT definitely becomes a strategic asset, where in the past they've looked at, you know, businesses have looked at it more as an expense. You know, today they can really truly become an asset to the business to drive technology, improve business processes.
Okay. Well, you know, the other issue, if that's probably the largest concern that some of us have heard. The question that everyone, I think, is thinking on some of the information ahead of time is, what are the hiccups, performance issues? What are the three main gotchas that we need to know about, at least at a high level?
You know, the cloud's providing a lot of potential in today's world, right? It's taking businesses and giving them more efficiencies and better business productivity improvements that they've ever seen. You know, so, but in any case, in any application, right, there could be hiccups, there could be performance issues, but mainly you have to look at your planning stages. You know, what are you looking to move to the cloud? And let me take an example of a recent client we worked with. It was a specific application that they had, which was a big challenge and concern of moving to the cloud. And it was an architectural engineering firm that used an application called Revit. Very high, intense graphics. Most desktop as a service providers would not be and could not perform properly to make that a real business application. So we had to go out and interview essentially 7 to 8 different cloud providers to see if, number one, could they potentially do it? And we actually carved it, you know, down immediately to 3 providers to see if they could potentially do proof of concept. 1 failed immediately, 2 were successful, and 1 ended up winning the project. But those are the key things. If you have special applications such as, you know, maybe it's big data analytics, you know, where you're crunching a large volume of numbers of unstructured data, that's another piece to really be concerned with, and not be fearful in regards to no cloud provider can do it, but you definitely want to do your homework. You want to ask specific questions. you know, have they done it before for other businesses and maybe similar businesses into your own, you know, a vertical market that you have? You know, those are the questions you're asking, but it shouldn't provide that fear that, oh, I have this application that won't work in the cloud. You know, constantly, you know, a year ago, that desktop as a service for the architectural firm probably wouldn't have worked. Well, today it works. 6 months from now, it'll be even better. So the architecture is constantly improving at a rapid pace. So definitely a concern, but not to worry about it, absolutely, if you do your research properly.
Jay, does this suggest the issue to some extent that, I mean, because what I understand is there's no ability to run parallel in the cloud. Are you saying that between the advances, between the pre-planning and some of the other issues, you can mitigate some or most of the need to run parallel?
Actually, some cases you can run parallel, but in most cases, if you're not, you're still going to have all the prelims done. So if you do your homework properly and plan accordingly, there should be no hiccups. But we all have been in the real world. You know, they have done it before. In most cases, if you're moving a specific application, and if they've done it, then it should be an easier road to pave. You know, if you were looking at a cloud provider who had never done a specific application before, you're probably looking in the wrong place.
Okay. So you're talking about planning. We've looked at that. Is there something that's sort of second or third place on your list of things we should be concerned about?
You know, storage, you know, the storage requirements in the cloud are increasingly tenfold on a daily basis as organizations are migrating more and more storage to the cloud. So, you know, your cloud providers, as long as they're have been around and are growing accordingly, and you ask the right questions, storage, you know, shouldn't be a problem, but you definitely want to ask the questions.
Okay.
How well can they expand their storage requirements?
So if you've got us along there, it sounds like you're now telling us that, you know, the accounting department's usually fairly computer savvy. The IT department's computer savvy, and we're going to make them more strategic. So we've gotten two of the groups. What are the cultural shifts that, let's talk about our users, and when I say our users, the people that use the information of accounting and IT, who may not be as computer savvy as these two groups, what kind of cultural shift is that going to be for, you know, our internal customers?
Well, you know, I'm not sure you can define the cultural changes, you know, but think about your workforce today. Most of the workforce, or especially the new generation of workforce, come into the working environment, have grown up with technology. They've grown up with social media. They're used to having easy access to their applications. And in your on-prem environment, it actually is more difficult for them because, you know, IT struggles with bring your own device to the market and how do you keep your company data information secure. So actually cloud opens up that window of opportunity and actually makes it easier for the new generation of workforces and most of us that are in the workforce today that have been using mobile devices and iPads and things of that nature. So today, with a cloud, I actually can access my applications from any device anywhere in the world, where previously that wasn't always the case. So it's actually easier and more accessible. So that actually the employees actually like it better.
Thank you.
Jay, on this, another point on there. What we haven't talked about, we've talked about planning the other issues. You know, these computer conversions, because that's really what this is, usually the other thing becomes training and for this conversion is always key. You know, let's talk a little about the training this takes.
Well, like in any new application and any new business productivity tools that you bring to the table, there will be training. The cloud offers, the cloud service provider will customize the training according to the needs based on the application. So as far as the IT staff goes, there are tools that they will have that give them the inside look of their entire network, whatever they're putting into the cloud, more access, more knowledge of what's going on than they've ever had before. So the tools they've developed in the cloud for these cloud providers, for the IT staff, is tremendous. So it definitely gives them a point on. As far as users, you know, they log into an application. Once they log in, they're on it, it works. You know, if you're putting Microsoft in the cloud, it works just like it does on your desktop. I mean, there might be some minor changes, but all in all, it works just like you do today. So training can be minimal, but you may have some very, you know, complex application that you might put up there where they may have to customize some additional training around that, but they absolutely will provide that training to you.
Okay. Well, you know, now we're down to, I'll call it the 800-pound gorilla on these things, which is just at a high level. Let's talk about security. All these people running around with all sorts of devices make CIOs and CTOs nervous, and probably a few of the listeners on this call. So how secure is the cloud at a high level, and then we'll dig a little deeper.
Yeah, absolutely. Security has been a concern. It's not as much as it was a couple of years ago because of what's going on. But, you know, a few years ago, everybody was like, oh, I don't want to move my data to a cloud. It's not secure. The guarantee of availability may not be there. But the technology has definitely matured to the point where there's a great education going on in the market today. And most technology people and financial people are aware or are researching if cloud is a viable option for them. But we all heard those, you know, the horror stories, right? Amazon maybe lost data to a break-in. You know, so the main thing I can say in regards to security, if you're going to pursue a cloud opportunity, is get educated. Don't rush into any cloud deployment without weighing your options and fully understanding how cloud is going to best suit your needs. You know, look for success stories that are in your market, if you have a specific type of market. You know, you're most likely going to be looking at some type of what we call and is pretty familiar out there as a hybrid cloud environment, where I have some of my applications in the public which are not business threatening, but then all my very business secure requirements are going to be in a private cloud environment. And the combination of two gives me the best of both worlds. So the second thing you really need to, when you're looking at cloud, is evaluate multiple service providers. You know, you want to ensure that you have security and compliances built into their plan. You know, so your business today requires very stringent security and compliance requirements, and that needs to be extended to any cloud provider. You know, so while the public cloud gave that cloud a very bad rap out of the gate in regards to security, the hybrid cloud environment is now being recognized for offering capabilities that meet and sometimes exceed, you know, the requirements of your business. Today's tools they have built into these cloud service providers are encryption, data isolation. They provide you tools that are integrated that allow you access to see what's going on with your data. You know, so they've addressed a lot of the concerns of a few years ago for the CIO. You know, the tools that are in place today for them, it allows them to give them an idea and a snapshot of their data. And also they have the ability to understand and route that data. So if they don't want that data to go to certain countries or to certain data centers, you know, they can restrict that from happening. So those tools and that ability to control the data really has added a level of comfort to the technology people out there, you know. So the necessary safeguards are in place to have much more control of your cloud environment. You know, the other thing you need to think about when looking at a cloud provider is look for, you know, the transparency in their operations, you know, their compliance support, you know, have a wide range of support options and the ability to demonstrate those continual increase in securities is something you want to have evaluating these providers. You know, so look beyond the basics. You know, we all know you expect encryption and data isolation to be axed into these cloud offerings. But there's some hidden features that some of these cloud providers are providing for additional security. and one of them is technology like an Intel TXT, which will provide you an additional protection for your use on mistakes associated with managing and running a cloud environment. But ask those questions. Believe me, when you're interviewing these cloud providers, they are more than willing to tell you all the levels of security they're going to, above and beyond, you know, the typical SaaS SFC, based by the SFA 16.
Jay, let's talk a little about, you're touching on the thing there, I think, that helps. You know, we've got the overview, and again, for the listeners, you're going to be able, at the end, we're going to stop this toward the end and have questions, so the questions are not going to be in the recording. That's, the thought is that'll let you be a little more open with what you ask. But let's do a little deeper dive down on, SOC 1, 2, 3, et cetera. So where can we get some of this outside comfort where we've got a CPA firm or something signing off on some things for us to supplement what you and others will tell us?
Well, every service provider you're going to interview, at minimum, you want them to have that SOC 1 or SSA 16 level. You know, as you move along a level, SOC 2 is a much more prevalent security level. You know, most of them have not gone to that expense, and very few businesses require it for them to go to that SOC 2 or SOC 3 level. You know, SOC 1 is the most important one. It's audited. They have the controls in place for confidentiality and all the risk aversions. If you have HIPAA requirements, you know, you want to ask to make sure they have those compliances in place. If it's a, you're in the, payment card industry, well, you're going to deal with a cloud provider that has at least that PCI compliance in it to meet those security needs. Again, you can get into so many levels of security, but more importantly is the research. They're going to be up front. They're going to talk about it. They're going to deal with it. And you shouldn't have a fear factor that cloud is not secure. They are more secure than your existing data centers today. They've gone to those levels of security where I don't think most businesses have gone to a SOC 1 type audit in their own firm.
Jay, we're talking a 1, 2, and a 3 on these things with it. I think most of the listeners on these things with it are thinking, I want the level 3 super duper version, but I only want to pay for level 1. And you've touched on this a little, but how much more is more? And where am I on this SOC 1, 2, and 3? Where should I be? Just a little more about that and cost and numbers.
They don't change the cost based on the levels of security. They're all very competitive in the market today. They utilize what the market bears. And that goes back to your total cost of ownership tools. You know, managing what your existing costs are to support your on-prem deployment versus your off-prem deployment in a hosted environment. So, unless you've gone to that extent of spending that kind of money for your own data centers, a SOC 1 is going to handle 85 to 90% of the businesses out there.
Okay, that's a nice little takeaway. So if we've been covering the strategic sides of this, I think really is the way I think we would lay this out. Let's get a little more tactical into some of the sort of nitty-gritty and some of the questions that people had sent us. And I'll agree on this one. I lived in South Florida, and, it's pretty common when I was down there, we would lose the internet or power. So we signed up, we're happy, we're contented on this cloud, and now all of a sudden, no internet, no power. What do we see? What do we do?
Well, that's the beauty of the cloud, Gare. If your business all of a sudden loses power or internet connection, all the applications reside in the cloud in a data center. So you're able to access those from your mobile device now, your iPads, or your cellular phones, and get over a 4G or 3G network and get to your application so you can access it. So actually, the worry if the internet connection goes down and you're out of business is not the fear. You actually have access to all your applications.
And I guess the other one, I think, I mean, I've heard both stories, but, I mean, we're trying to dispel a few myths here. So, you know, you're saying you're better off than back when I was there and some of our other members. Let's talk about geographical dispersion. And I bet you there's one or two listeners that even remember grandfather, father, son, and tapes. Can you touch on those two issues?
Yeah. As you're doing your research, most, you know, cloud providers today have multiple data centers just geographically dispersed in areas of the country. They also, in addition, you have cloud providers that are not only here in the U.S., they have data centers on the other side of the pond because they are global type solutions. Not to mean that if a cloud provider that would match up well for your business only had multiple data centers here in the U.S., doesn't mean it won't work over there, but depends on the application. So geographically redundant is important. You want to make sure they're on both sides. So in case of natural disaster, which I think a lot of us here on the East Coast have seen over the last couple of years, it is absolutely critical and important.
Okay, moving down the list, this was another question we had given that says, you know, we're really putting an awful lot of trust in that cloud provider. How do we know? Let's just take the first level of that. How do I know I can trust this cloud provider? You've given me a lot of things, but can you sort of give me the short version of how I'm going to trust this cloud provider I pick?
Well, most importantly, you know, how long has the cloud provider been in business? You know, the cloud environment has matured for about 10 years now. So if it's a brand new cloud provider, I would have some concerns. But someone who has been in business 4 or 5 years with a stable executive, you know, a stable executive team and management team in place, you know, not a lot of moving parts where people are leaving the organization, usually, you know, they're financially stable, so you can ask those questions up front. You want to make sure you have a plan, an exit plan in place just in case there are some challenges. But more and more, there are standards being developed by the NIST, which is the National Institute of Standards and Technology, wrapped around cloud and providing more stringent requirements of these cloud providers. But you're looking for a proven player. You're looking for someone who's been around the block for a few years. You know, most of them are financially stable, but you got to ask those questions. And some of them are actually owned by very large, you know, there's some cloud players out that are owned by large cable companies. You know, the AT&Ts of the world are starting to buy cloud players because they don't want to build it on their own. So do your research, do your homework, make sure they've been around the block for a while. And, you know, a telltale sign is if some of their key members have left recently, that might be a concern of not to put my stuff with that cloud provider.
Well, let's dig down the next level because here's the issue. This is a merger and acquisition-driven world right now. And, you know, having seen that, even when some of our listeners have dealt with major software providers, they're used to getting the code escrowed. Our data really is the sort of like the code escrowed. What happens if our cloud provider goes out of business or merges with a new provider? What do we do about all of our data that we live or die by?
A good question. You know, in regards to a merger, most likely it's going to have zero impact on any data integrity. You know, because the providers are still going to utilize and they merge for reasons, but your data is usually safe there. You absolutely want to maintain all your local logs of your login and password information. You want to continuously test both your monthly and quarterly to make sure you have administrative rights to these critical resources. If you're that fearful of that cloud provider that potentially they could go out of business, you maybe haven't done your homework, but in most cases you want to have an exit strategy, and you can ask those questions and have those written into the agreement, the SLA agreements, all those things that go into play. Those can be discussed up front prior to entering any agreements with any organization.
And you mentioned, if I heard it correctly, in other words, that there's a movement towards some standards being created sort of as we speak?
Yes. They're in the process, you know, and as the market continues to mature and grow and expand, you'll see more and more places, things put in place.
Okay. Well, let's sort of move. We're about halfway through, and again, there's time for questions on the end. You know, the comments we've seen, let's just compare those, sort of cloud versus, you know, on-premise where we are. You know, tell me a little more about the idea of survivability versus the single point of failure. That's, some of our people want to hear that.
Well, you know, some of the key benefits, which I think are pretty common knowledge, survivability, we have multiple data centers, protection against, you know, your technology obsolescence. I think there's a couple other key benefits, you know, the underlying benefits of cloud that some of the executives and CIOs on the call might be more interested in, because those are very simple and easy to understand. But some of the underlying benefits, such as, you know, the cloud actually provides a tremendous flexibility to bring in new applications and new businesses into their world. You know, in the past, anytime you wanted to add a new product line or a new business line into the organization, the research has to get done. There's lack of time by the IT department to do the research. Money's not available in the budget. And it takes so long to bring a new product line or a business to the business, it made it always, you know, difficult. The cloud eliminates that problem. You can spin up new applications in days and not hours if you want to for your product. If sales wants to test a new thing, they can do proof of concept, spin it out, and if it doesn't work, turn it off. So lack of time and lack of money becomes a thing of the past. So I think the flexibility cloud provides is one of the most crucial things that cloud deployment provides to the clients. You think about your mergers and acquisitions. Any organization that has gone through thinking about a merger or thinking about an acquisition, at some point, they then have to look at how do you bring those technologies, their IT staffs. One organization may have SAP, the other one might rely on Oracle. Which one do you utilize? How do you bring all that information together? Sometimes it kills a deal because it's just insurmountable. You can't merge all that information together. Where cloud, if you're residing in the cloud, it becomes a much simpler transition. So users from both sites can now all of a sudden access those applications that are in the cloud readily and more quickly. So that is a tremendous help to businesses.
You know,
go ahead.
Oh, I was going to say, were you going to talk about the issue of the systems administration? Because that's been a huge factor on some of our other software issues. If you could touch a little more on that point.
System administration actually improves. The tools that they have created in the cloud absolutely provide the IT staff a much more in-depth look into their solutions. They can see what their servers are doing more readily. They can access it from anywhere securely, and they can actually manage the system better. They know where their data is going from point A to point B. So that's very, very important. The other underlying benefit I wanted to bring up was, you know, in today's market, you know, cloud, we're living in that very hyper-competitive global economy. And the advantages today to the organizations that can actually adapt and leveraging the latest technology resources are the ones that are going to be successful moving forward. So cloud actually provides, you know, the leadership and guidance for the technology people in your organization to become, instead of being the break-fix plot, which is taking up probably 80% of their time and some of the research is out there, it actually is going to free up their IT executives to actually now start thinking more strategically and help the organization improve the business process and improve ways of production for the organization. So the IT team now actually becomes a very strategic asset to the business versus, you know, doing in the old world of break fix. So those are some of the key underlying benefits to take away from a cloud deployment.
Jay, when you and I did a little talk for planning on this one, you came back and said, hey, you know, we've talked a lot, that's a lot of detail, to sort of bring it back to a more strategic level. You had suggested that, you know, the CEOs, there's some underlying benefits they haven't heard about that you were able to nicely summarize. Could you talk about those strategic level CFO benefits a little now?
As far as the key benefits go, are you asking the question in regards to the CFO or more of, you know, the key benefits which we would talk to every client out there and say?
Well, I think more of these I would hope that they would be similar. You know, you've mentioned the flexibility of a new business, but the CFO usually is pretty strategic oriented. If you see there's a difference, I'd say talk about for the company. And if the CFO is custodian, is thinking that way, great. And if you say, hey, CFOs out there listening, I think you should consider something different, you know, I think we're open to it also.
Now, I think the CFO is becoming a more strategic decision maker in the world of IT. They're getting more involved in the technology end of it. They realize that it's a game changer for the business. So they're working more closely with the IT department to develop a strategy. So the cloud actually helps them tremendously. You know, it's a game changer for the business. In the past, they struggled with capital expenditures. Well, that goes away because you can actually roll out new IT services as an OPEX spend. You know, that's a huge difference maker for the CFO, you know. So once you develop your cloud strategy, you know, that is key to move forward. Get your total cost of ownership, you know, develop that. You can actually compare what an on-prem costs you versus a cloud deployment, and then move those applications to the cloud that suits your business. So it's absolutely the key part for CFOs. Their roles are changing.
On this one just briefly, sort of pre-questions on that. If you had to come back with, I mean, normally I think the listeners here, we're used to the idea of the three key points. If you came back and said, how would you summarize all the information you've just given us and said, here's three key things to think about?
It's a game changer, the cloud. You know, the key part is cloud is allowing for new applications and new businesses to be allowed for these organizations. They've spent money on their security more so than what any organization can spend on their own environment. So those are really two key points above and beyond. You know, the cloud is a game changer. And IT roles are changing. So,
okay. Let's do, if we could, on this one, on these things with it. What we're going to do is, some of you probably have. We're going to, after we do the questions, if you want to talk to Jay or myself after this one on another day, let me give you again the name of the company, their website. And a way to contact him subsequent to this. Total Cloud Connections, that's www.totalcloudconnections.com. Jay Politis is the president, 30 years experience in the realm, and his number is 203-684-5580. I'm sure he'd be glad to answer some questions that you have. He's been generous enough. He's created what really was a couple different white papers that he's assembled into one large sort of 15-page, more all the things you wanted to know about cloud but didn't know where to ask. Anything, Jay, before I turn off the recording and we bring people back for questions?
Yeah, I mean, what I want to point out, how we help organizations, migrate to the cloud, it's usually we become that extension for the business. And we have a group of cloud services engineers that are non-biased. So we don't work for any of the providers out there. We actually work for companies. So if you're overwhelmed and your IT staff is struggling with, developing a cloud strategy, we're there to help. We go through a very detailed process and questionnaire to really develop the complete IT environment. And then we have a very extensive TCO tool that we utilize. So we're able to actually have a side-by-side comparison. And we'll go out and do the pre-interviewing of cloud providers out there that actually may match up to your solutions that you're looking to accomplish. And that's a really key thing is we have access to over 70 cloud providers in our portfolio of our channel. And we have constant education from all of them. So we kind of know the ins and outs and can cut some of the research time down. And the real benefit is we don't charge for our services. We get paid at the other end. If you end up being with one of the cloud providers, they pay us at that end. Otherwise, you got a very nice strategic IT blueprint at no cost.
Okay, so sort of the analogy I think would be we're used to agents that become the tenant rep on the other side.